from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
4 o'clock hour of the Hawk and Crowder show. Solana, he's catching a plane off to somewhere. He's going from a business trip to a vacation. Crowder, you're always standing on business, yet you're always on the show. You're in Ybor City doing God knows what, but you're still here on Hawk and Crowder, so I respect you. And I know you can handle yourself in an airport, unlike Solana and yes. Hawk.
Now, stand on business, Donald. I always work.
Every time Solana takes a flight, doesn't he get sick? Like they got that weak filtered air up there, and he always gets sick. He's got no immune system, so he's going to miss a couple weeks of work.
Don't blame the airline. Blame his weak filtered lungs, because he can't fight off anything. He gets an ant bite, his whole leg's going to get amputated. It's ridiculous.
Well, we were just talking Heat and Heat Summer League with Amy Audibert. And, you know, Solana was asking me earlier, Crowder, kind of what my expectation was and what I'm going to be watching for with this Heat season coming up. And it's like, to me, as a longtime Heat fan, where I'm used to having a team that I feel like is going to be contending for a championship, right? Because even, you know, last year, they were coming off a finals appearance, despite the fact that they had to do it through the play-in 2 years ago. Then they go through the play-in last year, and they get squashed in the first round, but nobody was healthy anyway. But I don't know, my expectation has kind of shifted to, because also the Heat haven't really done much. You know, their offseason move was done last season, bringing in Terry Rozier. Other teams in the East have gotten better. I need to know how many games Jimmy Butler's going to play this year. But what I'm more looking at as a Heat fan is what kind of development and what kind of regular season performances am I going to see from guys like Jovic and Hawkes? And, you know, is Tyler Hero going to step up his consistency and stay healthy? Because he's another one who's missed a lot of time. And so it's like I'm looking at a team that may be fighting to avoid the play-in, and I'm hoping I can see these young guys for the future step up.
Yeah, no, it's that grow internally thing. And to the point, and I'm very critical, you know, of just adding pieces, adding a scorer, because we know we struggle to get to 110. You know, great defense if we can play, but if we're not playing great defense, you know, nowadays in the NBA, they're gonna put up 115. But that's the thing. Like, you look at it now, it's like, oh, last year was a disaster. Boston, you know, beat the hell out of us. COVID year, losing the finals. The Bucks year, they won it, they beat us. So you're losing the champion after champion after champion. You're a top three team in the league. And we were even questioning some of them rosters after LeBron and Wade and all, you know, Bosch, everybody left. That big three. 2 years ago, I was at one of those Nuggets games. We should have been on the court with them. But we were the second best team in basketball that year. Last year, Jimmy's out. Everybody's hurt. Tyler's out. Terry's out. So, you know, but can we just run it back? because you see what other teams are doing. You see what the Knicks did with Mikal Bridges. You see what, you know, Milwaukee did when they brought in Dame, and now they're adding other pieces. You see what Boston. Boston ain't going nowhere. That damn Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum just got his money, and they still have that big-ass giraffe. Like, they have rosters that on paper, and this is what you have to say about the Heat, on paper look better than ours. But I've watched the Heat beat up on a Tatum, Jaylen Brown team already. I've seen it in the past. Can we build internally? I do give Solana hell because he's just telling me this damn Jovic is about to be the next best thing to basketball. I haven't seen that out of him. But did you think Bam was going to be an all-star when they drafted him? Did you think Tyler could be the sixth man of the year? So I trust Andy. I trust Pat. I trust Spo. I'm just worried about, are the other teams just getting more talented while we're waiting for our players to develop?
Before we get to Dan Day's headlines, I want to see, Crowder, if you can give me some perspective and talk some sense into me, because if you had any idea what's going through my brain for the next 3 hours, like, we're on for two more hours, but I'm an absolute nervous wreck because a five-star high school prospect is going to be announcing his verbal commitment at 7 o'clock. It's coming down between Miami and Oregon, and most of the late intel for DJ Pickett is pointing to Oregon over Miami. So I'm like, I'm sweating, I'm freaking out. Like, I'm allowing a 17-year-old kid to basically have control over my mood right now. And I figured if anybody can talk some sense into me, Crowder is that guy.
Dono, you can't put anything on stars in that angle of time. Look at what guys are. There's the Tim Tebow's. But there's also the nobodies that were five stars, this and that. You can't see till they get there. There's guys going to walk on the field. They need 4 years to develop, 3 years to develop, 2 years. No time. I started as a true freshman. But, Donald, for you to sit around and ruin your life or miss sleep or not go to the park with your son or anything like that, bro, it is a waste of time. NFL draft, I can see a body of work against top level athletes. What's this man's name? DJ Pickett. DJ Pickett could have been playing the band in his hometown, wherever he was. He literally could have been playing 5'2" little itty bitty fellas and just running them over, and he looked great against them. You don't know his level of play. You don't know what he can do. His size is 40 and all that, but he could be terrible. I was actually – my other answer to you when you started the question, and I saw where you were headed. The first thing that popped in my mind, because then I got away from this, I was thinking about all the five-star recruits that I came out with to go to Florida that were rated way higher than me, and not one damn one of them became an all-conference or all-American. Some of them didn't even play at their respectable schools. I'm not trying to give away too much because I don't want a bad mouth Ricardo and those guys. But there were guys that were flat out, everybody in the world said they were a better football player than me, and they didn't bust a grape in college. So listen, take your beautiful wife, your amazing son, go have dinner, enjoy yourself, Dono.
I told them I'm not going to talk to you till I know what's happening. I'm waiting on DJ Pickett. I can't concern myself with the family right now. This is bigger. These are bigger priorities, Crowder.
Who was y'all's last big quarterback?
Like, coming out of high school?
Yes.
I mean, well, the big one was Kyle Wright, who was the top player in the country back in 2003. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one didn't pan out.
Tate Martell.
Where's Kyle at now? Oh, Tate Martell was about to be the savior.
Yeah, Tate. Well, and Jake Garcia a few years ago was not a five-star but a four-star, but he's transferring for, like, the third time now in his career.
Yeah, Trayvon, it was a guy like that at Florida that was supposed to just – he was going to be the Charlie Ward of UF, and he lost me so much money when I got to the league and was able to gamble legally on college football. And I have a problem with the kid to this day because I was like, oh, he amped me up with recruiting. We're going to the SEC championship. He couldn't throw the ball 40 yards.
Jeez. You're making me feel a little bit better. Someone who always makes me feel better is Dan Day with some headlines.
And they're brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. The Miami Heat and Dallas Mavericks, they are into the third quarter in Summer League in Las Vegas. Miami is up 49-45. Khalil Ware so far, been pretty good. Got some alley-oops, got some free throws, got some blocks. So far, looking good. First pick for the Miami Heat.
By the way, you said something there. Has anyone actually confirmed how to properly say his first name? Because it's 50-50. I've heard it, and it's like I can't even say one side I've heard more than the other. It's equal parts Khalil and Kalel. I just have no clue.
On draft night, it was Khalil by Adam Silver, but Amy kept saying, I read between the lines, she would kind of not directly correct like Solana and stuff, but would say Kalel. She kept saying Kalel. But draft night,
actually,
Adam Silver.
I actually like Kalel better because of the whole Superman tie-in. So I actually like that one better.
K-Dub.
That's a good one. K-Ware.
You can always go with Big Bro or what up, bro?
Yeah, what up? If you guys, whatever you guys have him on the show, you're never going to say his name once or say, K-Dub, Big Bro is on with us. How are you? Venus Williams.
They make fun of me all the time. If I don't know a name, it's going to be, hey, Miss Lady, or what's up, bro? Yeah,
let me ask you, did you develop that habit because of what happened with Serena Williams? Like, did that scar you so much that you're never going to say someone's name ever again?
To be honest, it actually happened to me today in Tampa. Me and my wife went to eat at a restaurant. You know when somebody's coming as a fan to say hi, and then you know there's a different face when they know that, like, y'all have met before. So this lady comes up, and she's like, Channing, hey, Miss Lady, how you doing? And everybody that knows me knows what I'm BSing about knowing somebody. I did it 3 hours ago. Miss Lady, hot boy, look at you. Man, how have you been? It's been a long time. Never seen her before in my life. Well, I think I have, but I don't remember. But yeah, I think it's just through life, bull-essing a lot. not want to hurt people's feelings. So, hey, how you doing, Chan? Hey, what's up, bro? Man, look at you. Boy, you lost some weight.
Doing
well. What else we got, Dan?
The Marlins are off till Friday due to the All-Star break. They're going to play in New York against the Mets. Rumors are now circling for Jazz Chisholm being traded to either the Yankees, the Braves, the Dodgers, and even the Mariners.
Yeah, who was it that was in the building yesterday? I was in the building. Somebody had a Jazz Chisholm jersey. They were calling themselves the Jinx on that. Like, I can't remember. Can't remember who that was. Somebody. It might have been Marcos. Yep. I think it was Marcos who had the jersey.
It was his Marcos. Fault.
It's Marco's fault.
Lionel Messi, it's his ankle's fault. He's not playing tonight as Inter Miami. They will host Toronto FC at 7:30, pregame 7 o'clock here on 560 WQAM. And then the Chicago Fire are coming to town this coming Saturday. Lionel Messi will also not play that game.
Yeah, still, I mean, I don't know about the Chicago game. I don't know anything about Chicago. But for the game tonight against our neighbors to the north, I did put 10 big ones on Inter Miami on the money line.
10 racks?
10 big ones I put on
$10.
$10, yeah, 10 big ones. It sounds better when you say it. 10 large, I put it on Inter Miami.
You should miss more sleep over them $10 than KB Pickett.
no, honestly, I'm not going to miss the $10. But if Pickett goes with Oregon tonight, which is now expected by most of the recruiting analysts, I'm going to lose sleep over Pickett, not over my $10. But if I win $10, which actually would more be like $8 with the VIG, if I win on Inter Miami tonight, I'll sleep a little better.
If they do draft busts, you know, teams draft busts in history. If colleges did their recruiting busts, there wouldn't be enough paper in the world to write them all down. I'm telling you, there are so many terrible dudes that play D1 football that should have never been on that team because they snuck in. They're big and they bench press 225 18 times. Oh, my goodness, you can't play a lick.
I mean, I want to argue with you because I've watched the huddle reel, which is like the highlights for DJ Pickett, and he looks tremendous, but everyone's huddle reel I've ever watched. Look, I've never watched a huddle reel where I'm like, man, that guy's terrible. Like, every huddle reel I've ever watched is like, dude, we need this guy.
Yep. I need to send you my VHS of me coming out of high school, Dono.
Okay. I remember there was one summer when this was in like 03 or 04 when I volunteered in the Miami recruiting office. And that was, they were still primarily using some DVDs, but there were a lot of VHS tapes that would come through, and I had to like sort out the VHS tapes. So I don't know. I might have come across an old Crowder before you wound up picking Florida.
And I remember if you got to the end of my tape, we taped it over Big Trouble in Little China. So after I was the last one was a kickoff return for a touchdown, and then you started seeing Karate Movie.
Given how bad I was when I volunteered in that office, I might have lost your tape, and I might be the reason why you ended up being a Gator. Like, it was a very problematic summer. Crowder, I can recall at one point they had me, like, answering phones for a day, and I didn't know how to transfer the calls, and so I was basically just hanging up on people by accident. And then I also, they had me, like, try to fax something, and I used the fax that was in, like, Larry Coker's office. And I not only did the fax not go through, I think I broke his fax machine somehow. So it was a very any players Miami missed out on in that recruiting cycle, mostly my fault.
What year was this?
This was it was either the summer of 03 or 04. It was one of those two.
That was the start of the end.
Yeah.
It is your fault.
That was when things started going downhill.
Donald ruined UM.
Whichever summer it was, they did not invite me back the next summer.
We good. We got enough. We got enough.
They had me the following summer. I was doing like operations with the women's basketball team. I went from football to that.
I told you my UM recruiting, right? Why UM just was off the table? Because
no.
DJ no. Williams was there. Jonathan Vilma. That's when all them people, like, y'all were dogs back then. I graduated 02, so this is 2000, 2001, taking unofficial visits and things. And so, like, Vilma and DJ were to start, like, y'all were loaded. And go down there, Vernon Hargraves, the second, his son actually played in the league, Vernon Hargraves, the third, went to Florida. And Vernon Hargraves, the linebacker coach, and we go in. I was there at a camp. Buster Davis, who played for Florida State, went to the Lions. We had there was a bunch of top linebackers there. Talking to Vernon, I was like, yeah, this would be, you know, I'm starting to break it down. You know, I got maybe 20 schools. UM is one of them. A couple weeks later, he calls me and he's like, hey, Crowder, do you want to be a Cane? I was like, yeah, no, you're still on the list. He was like, no, we're running out of scholarships.
Wow.
He's like, we've offered more people than scholarships we have to give. So we wanted to let you know that if you want to commit early, you can. But if not, I'm pretty sure we're going to run out of scholarships. And I was like, Coach, I haven't even taken an official visit yet. Like, I want to visit Michigan. I want to visit Florida. I want to visit, you know, Georgia. I want to visit this. She's like, well, I just want to let you know, I love your game. You know, I think you'd be a big asset, but we probably won't have a scholarship here in a couple weeks. I said, well, sorry. Have a good one.
Wow. So whatever you just said, all I took from that was Miami didn't have a spot for Crowder. Too good for Crowder.
That's what happened. Everybody says you would have been a great Cane. And I tell them, hell, y'all ran out of space. Y'all told me to commit as a sophomore. How would I do that? I want to take my visits and party and talk to these dibbles and devils.
Dang. Sorry it didn't work out, because I would have loved to have I would have lost your VHS tape anyway, so don't worry about it.
Donald,
what happened happened.
I got arrested three times in Gainesville. What would have happened in Miami? It'd have been over for me. Got arrested on University Drive. Now you put me on South Beach? Come on.
Oh, man.
Let's get to weather from the Nesmond and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. High 80s with a slight chance of rain. Not too much cloud cover right now in South Florida.
Okay, well, that's your weather. We will continue. I want to circle back to these NFL and Tua conversations, because I want to pick Crowder's brain on having, you know, been in NFL locker rooms, the very locker room not the literal very locker room, because they've moved from Davie to Miami Gardens, but how Tua's teammates might be reacting to him not having this extension offer just yet. You want to keep it locked right here. We're not done yet on this episode of Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Jimmy, te quiero.
Te quiero mucho.
Hawk and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're going to talk later in the show with Zach Gelb. And I know Solana took issue with Gelb leaving Tua off of his top 10 NFL quarterback list. He's not the only one, though, Crowder. I was watching ESPN yesterday, and they basically spent a whole day on all their various programs talking about the ESPN top 10 quarterback rankings. Tua was also not in the ESPN top 10 rankings either. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, part of the problem with Tua's perception, this is not the first, like Tua has been, you know, he's been, you could say, disrespected for the past few years, yeah. But a contributing factor to that now would be his own team is not, you know, knocking down the doors to give him a deal the way all these other quarterbacks said, like, you want an extension, you have an extension. Tua is the only guy not getting his. Crowder, what could the trickle down be morale wise for the rest of the team? Cause it seems like Tua's teammates believe in him. How do you think the rest of the locker room feels right now that they're not doing right by their starting quarterback?
Oh, I don't think that's a good question. I don't think the rest of the team that he's on right now saying like, oh, Chris Greer, and they, you know, oh, they're going to mess us over. Like the trickle down effect, I don't think it's something that makes the team, you know, feel a certain way about the organization. But I think from the outside looking in, it looks bad. For players that want to sign with the Dolphins, you know, you're already there. Like, if you don't want to sign me, I got to go somewhere else. But players that are coming in or free agents they're trying to sign, we're like, damn, if I go and ball and lead the NFL in whatever so-and-so category, y'all are still going to slow play me? The players, you understand the business side of it. Like, I tell the story all the time with the when Jason Taylor went to the Jets. So JT, all everything with the Dolphins, you know, good friend of mine still to this day. And then Parcells comes in. JT is just super famous. JT started doing Dancing with the Stars. Parcells and that regime, Tony didn't really like his what all he was doing, even though he could still play. And the rumor started coming out he's going to the Jets. So we're like, damn, JT, man, you're going to go to the enemy, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to put his contract out there, but it was double-digit millions more. The Jets
were
offered
extra zeros on the contract.
The Jets offered him double-digit millions more than the Dolphins did. Then you have to look away and then think about that's your friend. I'm not worried about is he going to get 16 sacks this year, you know, in front of me where it makes my job easier. It gets to a point of, damn, JT, go get your bread, big dog. So on the other side of that with Tua, there's a lot of guys that are sitting there that love Tua. Tyreek has praised Tua since the moment he got here. And Tyreek probably, and to speak on Tyreek, Tyreek probably done said something to Chris Greer and them dudes about it. A guy like that can. But, damn, Tua, bro, you deserve to get paid. Herbert got paid. What has he done more than Tua? The Trevor Lawrence payment was the one that got me. I've kind of talked about that a number of times. But in the locker locker room. I don't think it's making current players look at the organization different, but I do think guys are walking in the locker room, hitting two workouts, hitting two with that little chest tap. Like, bro, you're going to get your money, man. Don't sweat it. You're going to get your money.
Now, I also want to present the other side of it with Tua, because the ESPN, when they put together these top 10 lists position by position, they just put it out for quarterbacks, I think, yesterday. They say this is based on executives, coaches, and scouts doing these rankings. So this isn't like, you know, Joe Blow, who writes for ESPN.com, putting this together. Like, this is supposedly weighted based on what they hear from execs and coaches and scouts. So when you hear that, should Dolphin fans hear that and say, maybe there's a reason why these people don't rank Tua as highly as we do?
Yeah, and I can see, like, I've always said he's a top 12. He's right there. I can top of the league, 16, 32 teams, 16. He is by far in the 16, because there are some terrible damn quarterbacks out there. Not even saying Tua's terrible, but, like, you can't put him past 15, 16 to me. But he's right in that range of, if Tua had a playoff win right now, he'd be in the top 10, because they couldn't do that knock of, oh, he folds in the postseason. If we would have beat the Titans last year, if we would have got the Bills game, if Kansas City wasn't negative 770,000 degrees out there, maybe the Dolphins play better. If Tua had a playoff win, I think he'd be in the top 10. But that's the criticism I hear every time. When I've heard people push back, I've pushed back on people about Tua. Me and Colin Cowherd argued, I think it was like 3 out of 5 weeks on his show. And I'm like, why do you keep saying this about Tua? Bro, are you watching football? Like, I'm arguing, what has he done? What has he done in the postseason? So I think if Tua has done something in the postseason, he's by far a top 10 quarterback on every list. Yeah. That's his knock. You can't question his accuracy. You can't question his timing. You can't question his arm strength. He can't throw the ball deep. Oh, well, he was averaging more yards per attempt than any other quarterback for a large portion of the year last year. The only knock against Tua is postseason success, and I can't argue that, because he hasn't had any postseason success. So if that's your reason to knock him from 9 to 13, I'm with you. If you want to say he's 18 to 20, I don't think you can see. Maybe look into LASIK, maybe watch not football, whatever you have to do, because Tua is a top 12 guy. I could argue top 10, but if you put him out of that top 12, I think you're crazy.
So what would it take to validate the negative narratives? That if, because obviously we can all agree that if the Dolphins win a playoff game this year with Tua behind center and he reaches that milestone, I mean, I hope they win multiple playoff games, but if he wins one playoff game, I think the narrative should at least start to change. But if the same thing happens that happened last year, Crowder, and hopefully they don't play in like negative 30 degrees again, but if they get to another playoff game and Tua doesn't play very well and the team falls short, how many more of those is it going to take to validate that narrative where, and obviously he is already polarizing among Dolphin fans. Not every Dolphin fan believes in Tua. I know that, but yeah, a lot of people do. At what point would that narrative from the Dolphin side of things start to change?
He goes to the AFC Championship game. They leave him the hell alone and he gets $500 million, $400 million, whatever these contracts are nowadays. If he wins a playoff game, they leave him alone. They stop saying that, because now you don't have that argument. Like, they want to argue with Trevor Lawrence and argue with some guys. He's won a playoff game. If he gets injured again, it goes back to square one after Brian Flores leaves. Because now the question of injury is there again, no matter what the numbers are. So I think either way, he could swing quickly. But a deep playoff run would shut everybody up. One playoff win would give him some time and probably give him some money. And then another injury would really hurt any argument that anybody has, because you can't argue injury. Yes, he's been hurt a number of times.
By the way, going back to me freaking out about a 17-year-old making their recruiting decision, this text came in. And I think this texture was trying to make me feel better, but he says, Dono, yo, chill out. This dude's pops works with my friend in Zephyr Hills. Zephyr Hills High School is where DJ Pickett goes. By the way, you're a few people removed from the source here. So this dude's pops works with my friend in Zephyr Hills. And he is committing to Oregon, the texter says. In these days of NIL and transfer portal, he will likely never end up in Eugene. A 17-year-old commit in high school doesn't matter as it did in 1990. Like, this person was trying to make me feel better. But if he does commit to Oregon tonight, I'm not going to be, no matter what that person says, I'm not going to be feeling good about it.
Dono, this is 2 years from now?
For 2025 would be when he enrolls. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the 2024 recruiting's already over. That's been over for months.
You're missing sleep about a dude that's still about to play high school some more?
Yeah, he's got another high school season left.
Dono, you need to leave this B.B. Pickens alone, man. This dude doesn't even have facial hair yet. Man, stop worrying about this kid. 2025.
It's big. We're on. We've already got a couple commits for 2026 that I'm very excited about. Darian Coleman, 2026 quarterback out of Jones High School in Orlando. He's heading into his junior season in high school, but I'm very excited for when he arrives at Miami.
Y'all believe in sophomore commits? You know what I mean? The people I told happens, I was coming to their school. When I told every college recruited me I was coming to their school as my sophomore summer. You can do this. There was no letter of intent. Hey, you like Penn State? Yeah, coach, love it. Hey, you like NC State? Yeah, coach, love it. Oh, yeah, ha-ha. I'll see you in a couple years. You just tell them what they want to hear so they give you more crab legs and steak.
I'm already urging my son to offer a verbal commit for 2036, but he's not very coordinated, so I don't know if he's going to stick.
Let me get my Florida recruiting pitch in first, please.
If you want him, he may not make your team better. He falls down a lot, my kid. He can't – terrible balance, so go ahead.
He's getting tough. Have at it. That's just toughness. He's building the callus.
Yes. We'll wrap up the 4 o'clock hour when we come back. Hawk and Crowder Show, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You look slightly zooted.
You know, I might have tailgated a little bit.
Hawk and Crowder.
Welcome back into the Hawk and Crowder Show, AM 560 Sports, WQAM. So Solana was with us earlier. He's on a plane out of Dallas now. Dan, I figure you've been everywhere. You're like that. You remember the old hotel commercials? I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
Yeah.
I figure you've probably been to Charlotte before. I'm going to be in Charlotte next week for ACC Media Days. I haven't. The only time I've been in Charlotte is like landing at their airport and then driving like to the mountain somewhere. So I haven't really been to Charlotte. You got any recommendations about the scene out there?
Charlotte scene. I think all I really did
was there a scene?
I spent a day. I went to a brewery and a dive bar, and I can't remember the dive bar went to, but I didn't spend a lot of time in Charlotte. I think I was into Charlotte, then I went to Raleigh, then I went to Asheville. So it was kind of along the way. I don't remember.
I've been to Asheville. Asheville's got a scene. Like that town's got like a certain vibe about it.
Country vibe.
It's country. It's slow.
It's like it's somewhere between like country and hipster. It's not like it's not pure country, Asheville.
Oh, no, I would say you're very hippie-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is not like you. It's not usually how you would think of North Carolina.
No, like I'm. Yeah, when you say like Nashville is, you know, boot scootin' boogie. Yeah, Asheville's a little more laid back. Yeah, hippie-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe enjoy their cigars different than normal people.
Doesn't Cam Newton have a cigar shop in Charlotte? Cam Newton has a cigar bar in
Charlotte. Yes, he has one in Atlanta, one in Charlotte. It's called Fellowship.
Ah, see?
Okay.
Yeah, I've been to one in Atlanta. I ain't been to one in Charlotte.
Now, I feel like I missed. I know a big thing for Solana. You know, he went out allegedly to cover SEC Media Days, but I feel like the highlight for him was fast food burgers. I didn't catch his review of Whataburger. Like, I saw him on social media post the picture of the Whataburger, but I didn't catch what he actually said about it. Did he approve of it? What was the verdict?
He said mediocre burger. Frisco melt was delicious, but he also said, which is, you know, Donald, you've been on with us enough, and you know, Hawk amps up stuff so much that your expectations get so high. So Solana's never had a Whataburger. Hawk has talked about the Whataburger and this spicy ketchup for 8 years, every day almost. So Solana's thinking he's about to walk into the best piece of beef he's ever eaten in his life. And I think that was the problem, because Hawk made it seem like it was heaven between buns, and it's a hamburger.
Yeah, you know what? The same thing happens with In-N-Out Burger, and it might be Hawk's fault, because he's hyped it up before in his day. Because I know, like, because I had like the first time I had I've had an In-N-Out Burger several times, but like the first couple times I had it was before the big hype. Like, it was before, because like people in the East Coast never used to talk about it until recently. Everyone's like, oh, I need an In-N-Out burger. So people hype it up so much. I remember having it like just like randomly. A friend of mine from California is like, oh, let's go grab this fast food burger. It was like a $4. This was before inflation. This is like a $4 meal. I'm like, oh, this isn't bad. This is pretty good. And then people on the East Coast start talking it up as if it's like some gourmet, life-changing experience. And so, yeah, a lot of East Coasters, when they go out and they have the In-N-Out burger for the first time, they're expecting a religious experience, and they're getting a hamburger. And it's like, what? Who are they talking about this all this time for? It's like, it's a good, I would put it up there above most fast food burgers, but it's not a life-changing experience.
Oh, you know what? I think I'm guilty of this with Publix. Because when I go
we hype that up the way the West Coasters hype up the In-N-Out burger. That's right. When
I'm telling, like, when I say Publix, and I like Publix is my go-to, you know, grocery store. It's six of them within a mile of my house, so we go to Publix all the time. My wife has her Publix. I have my Publix. Like, we have a bunch of Publix. But when I talk to people, and when I tell stories, and when I say, like, I'm talking about cooking, I'm always like, yeah, I started Publix. Go to Publix, Publix, Publix. And I've had people from the West Coast and different places that they're like, Crowder, I thought Publix was like, it was godsend. I thought this was, you know, the Noah's Ark of groceries. I was like, it's a grocery store.
It's like they're visiting the Taj Mahal for the first time.
And I was like, no, bro, Publix is off the chain. They were like, Publix is cool. But yeah, so I think I'm guilty of this as well with Publix.
And that happens, like, I mean, still, like, I will cape up for the pub subs. Like, I love them. I think they're exquisite. But I think the initiated of us, we talk them up so much that I've seen people from out of state who, like, oh, I hear all these Floridians, they're talking about this chicken tender sub. Like, we built it up so much, and they're like, it was a decent sub, and it was very filling, and now I have a stomach ache. It's like, that was the experience.
It is. And now in the last, what, two, like 3 years, I've been traveling a lot. Like, I think that, like, people are very proud of their region. I'm starting to figure that out, that people are, especially being from South Florida, where, like, oh, you have to, like, you go to L.A., it's a place called C, or what is it, C? It's some seafood restaurant, and it's like, you have to go here, you know, there's a month wait, you better call 3 weeks in advance to get a table at 10:45 at night. And I walked in, and I was like, oh, that's salmon, that's branzino, that's sea bass, like... I've had there's six restaurants on South Beach that is better than this. This sea bass is not that great, but I think, like, people get stuck in their region and the pride of it trying to get to you.
I will say, and I'm pandering to Dan Day now. One of the few, like, when I went to New Orleans, the food there that lived up to the hype, except that coffee at Cafe Du Monde, pure garbage. But, like, all the po' boys. And the gumbo, like, all the traditional Louisiana stuff that lived up for the hype for me. The coffee with the chicory, I could throw it right in the garbage, but everything else lived up.
Yeah, and Crowder lived down there for a while, man. It's crazy, crazy, crazy food. But I get caught up in all that stuff in South Florida and wherever I've lived. Like, you get accustomed to something and you're like, oh, you got to go here. And I tell people something like New Orleans, oh, you have to go to Miss May's, or, oh, you have to go to this place. And they come back and they're like, yeah, it's cool. You know, and I'm like, oh, you didn't experience it the way I did. But yeah, the jambalayas and the gumbos. And I just got back from there about a month ago, and the food's as good as it's ever been. And it's all that Cajun Creole seasoning that they put in everything that makes it so crazy.
I saw where you were going, Dono. The New Orleans food is the only thing that lives up to every single bit of it. What
100%
they say. Oh my! I go to Shuck and Dive. It's down in Broward and what's that? Broward and US 1, Dan. Shuck and Dive.
Yep.
That's delicious.
It's great.
Oh, it's amazing. They have the catfish. They have the crawfish, boiled crawfish, fresh. You can hear the little crawfish screaming when they pour them in the water.
I hate that sound.
Every second of it.
They go,
you hate it?
That's actually the pressure coming through the shell. Like, they don't really scream. That's like just a sound that's made.
Oh, I think they're screaming.
I don't know what's going on, Donald, but bring my bucket out here. Extra spicy, 3 pounds. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Well, we got the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour coming up. We are going to hear from Zach Gelb coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Alex Dono and Crowder with you in for Hawk and Solana. We got Dan Day. We got Jimmy here. By the way, Jimmy looks sharp in his Inter Miami jersey. Inter Miami, they make a sharp jersey. Is that a Messi, or do you have the custom made Jimmy?
I have the custom made Jimmy.
I knew you're the custom made guy. Like you love the custom. I get those for my 6-year-old. I get them the custom maids.
Hey,
for me, I'm a grown man. I pretend to be one of the players. I get the name of the player on the back because I'm a grown up, Jimmy. I'm an adult.
Like other people that can make babies. I hate 5 o'clock you, Jimmy. Hour.
The feeling is mutual.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Papareno.
Hawk and Crowder.
Welcome back into the Hawk and Crowder Show, AM 560 Sports WQAM. So Solana was with us earlier. He's on a plane out of Dallas now. Dan, I figure you've been everywhere. You're like that. You remember the old hotel commercials? I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
Yeah.
I figure you've probably been to Charlotte before. I'm going to be in Charlotte next week for ACC Media Days. I haven't. The only time I've been in Charlotte is like landing at their airport and then driving like to the mountain somewhere. So I haven't really been to Charlotte. You got any recommendations about the scene out there?
Charlotte scene. I think all I really did
was there a scene?
I spent a day. I went to a brewery and a dive bar, and I can't remember the dive bar went to, but I didn't spend a lot of time in Charlotte. I think I was into Charlotte, then I went to Raleigh, then I went to Asheville. So it was kind of along the way. I don't remember.
I've been to Asheville. Asheville's got a scene. Like that town's got like a certain vibe about it.
Country vibe.
It's country. It's slow.
It's like it's somewhere between like country and hipster. It's not like it's not pure country, Asheville.
Oh, no, I would say very hippie-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is not like you. It's not usually how you would think of North Carolina.
No, like I'm. Yeah, when you say like Nashville is, you know, boot scoot and boogie. Yeah, Asheville's a little more. Yeah, more laid back. Yeah, hippie-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe enjoy their cigars different than normal people.
Doesn't Cam Newton have a cigar shop in Charlotte? Cam Newton has cigars. Cam Newton has a cigar bar in.
Oh yeah, Charlotte. Yes, he has one in Atlanta, one in Charlotte. It's called Fellowship.
Ah, see.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been to one in Atlanta. Out. I ain't been to one in Charlotte.
Now, I feel like I missed. I know a big thing for Solana. You know, he went out to cover, allegedly to cover SEC Media Days, but I feel like the highlight for him was fast food burgers. I didn't catch his review of Whataburger. Like, I saw him on social media post the picture of the Whataburger, but I didn't catch what he actually said about it. Did he approve of it? What was the verdict?
He said mediocre burger. Frisco melt was delicious, but he also said, which is, you know, Donald, you've been on with us enough, and you know, Hawk amps up stuff so much that your expectations get so high. So Solana's never had a Whataburger. Hawk has talked about the Whataburger and this spicy ketchup for 8 years, every day almost. So Solana's thinking he's about to walk into the best piece of beef he's ever eaten in his life. And I think that was the problem, because Hawk made it seem like it was heaven between buns, and it's a hamburger.
Yeah, you know what? The same thing happens with In-N-Out Burger, and it might be Hawk's fault, because he's hyped it up before in his day. Because I know, like, because I had like the first time I had I've had an In-N-Out Burger several times, but like the first couple times I had it was before the big hype. Like it was before, because like people in the East Coast never used to talk about it until recently. Everyone's like, oh, I need an In-N-Out Burger, so people hype it up so much. I remember having it like just like randomly. A friend of mine from California is like, oh, let's go grab this fast food burger. It was like a $4. This was before inflation. This is like a $4 meal. I'm like, oh, this isn't bad. This is pretty good. And then people on the East Coast start talking it up as if it's like some gourmet, life-changing experience. And so, yeah, a lot of East Coasters, when they go out and they have the In-N-Out Burger for the first time, they're expecting a religious experience, and they're getting a hamburger. And it's like, well, what are they talking about this all this time for? It's like, it's a good, I would put it up there above most fast food burgers, but it's not a life-changing experience.
Oh, you know what? I think I'm guilty of this with Publix. Because when I go
we hype that up the way the West Coasters hype up the In-N-Out burger. That's right. When
I'm telling, like, when I say Publix, and I like Publix is my go-to, you know, grocery store. It's six of them within a mile of my house, so we go to Publix all the time. My wife has her Publix, I have my Publix. Like, we have a bunch of Publix. But when I talk to people, and when I tell stories, and when I say, like, I'm talking about cooking, I'm always like, I started Publix. Go to Publix, Publix, Publix. And I've had people from the West Coast and different places that they're like, Crowder, I thought Publix was like, it was godsend. I thought this was, you know, the Noah's Ark of groceries. I was like, it's a grocery store.
It's like they're visiting the Taj Mahal for the first time.
And I was like, no, bro, Publix is off the chain. They were like, Publix is cool. But yeah, so I think I'm guilty of this as well with Publix.
And that happens, like, I mean, still, like, I will cape up for the pub subs. Like, I love them. I think they're exquisite. But I think the initiated of us, we talk them up so much that I've seen people from out of state who, like, oh, I hear all these Floridians, they're talking about this chicken tender sub. Like, we built it up so much, and they're like, it was a decent sub and it was very filling, and now I have a stomach ache. It's like, that was the experience.
It is. And now in the last, what, two, like 3 years, I've been traveling a lot. Like, I think that, like, people are very proud of their region. I'm starting to figure that out, that people are, especially being from South Florida, where, like, oh, you have to, like, you go to L.A., it's a place called C, or what is it, C? It's some seafood restaurant, and it's like, you have to go here, you know, there's a month wait. You better call 3 weeks in advance to get a table at 10:45 at night. And I walked in, and I was like, oh, that's salmon. That's branzino. That's sea bass. Like, I've had there's six restaurants on South Beach that is better than this. This sea bass is not that great, but I think, like, people get stuck in their region and the pride of it trying to get to you.
I will say, and I'm pandering to Dan Day now. One of the few, like, when I went to New Orleans, the food there that lived up to the hype, except that coffee at Cafe Du Monde, pure garbage. But, like, all the po' boys. And the gumbo, like, all the traditional Louisiana stuff, that lived up for the hype for me. The coffee with the chicory, I could throw it right in the garbage, but everything else lived up.
Yeah, and Crowder lived down there for a while, man. It's crazy, crazy, crazy food. But I get caught up in all that stuff in South Florida and wherever I've lived. Like, you get accustomed to something and you're like, oh, you got to go here. And I tell people something like New Orleans, oh, you have to go to Miss May's, or, oh, you have to go to this place. And they come back and they're like, yeah, it's cool. You know, and I'm like, oh, you didn't experience it the way I did. But yeah, the jambalayas and the gumbos. And I just got back from there about a month ago, and the food's as good as it's ever been. And it's all that Cajun Creole seasoning that they put in everything that makes it so crazy.
I saw where you were going, Dono. The New Orleans food is the only thing that lives up to every single bit of it. What
100%
they say. Oh my! I go to Shuck and Dive. It's down off like Broward and what's that? Broward and US 1, Dan. Shuck and Dive.
Yep.
That's delicious.
It's great.
Oh, it's amazing. They have the catfish. They have the crawfish, boiled crawfish, fresh. You can hear the little crawfish screaming when they pour them in the water.
I hate that sound.
Every second of it.
They go,
you hate it?
That's actually the pressure coming through the shell. Like, they don't really scream. That's like just a sound that's made.
Oh, I think they're screaming.
I don't know what's going on, Dono, but bring my bucket out here. Extra spicy, 3 pounds. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Well, we got the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour coming up. We are going to hear from Zach Gelb coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Alex Dono and Crowder with you. In for Hawk and Solana. We got Dan Day. We got Jimmy here. By the way, Jimmy looks sharp in his Inter Miami jersey. Inter Miami, they make a sharp jersey. Is that a Messi, or do you have the custom made Jimmy?
I have the custom made Jimmy.
I knew you're the custom made guy. Like you love the custom. I get those for my 6-year-old. I get him the custom mades.
Hey,
for me, I'm a grown man. I pretend to be one of the players. I get the name of the player on the back because I'm a grown up, Jimmy. I'm an adult.
Like other people that can make babies. I hate 5 o'clock you, Jimmy.
The feeling is mutual.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Papa Leano.
Hawk and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.